Well, we started and we talked a little bit about how do we view God, and then we looked at the outline. I think we got the outline right up here, and it's also, we raised the question of what is grace, and we looked at the meaning of that, and we'll talk about it in a second. And then we looked at grace in the Old Testament, New Testament. Then we looked at grace for the whole world, people, you know, believers. And then we're in the big section, salvation, Christian life in the future. And then the fourth part, the last part, is the response to the grace of God. That's a powerful thing. We started, if you remember last time, we talked about what is grace. That grace literally means unmerited favor. We said, we looked at the, and if you got your hand out, we looked at three words: justice, mercy, and grace. We don't want the justice of God. God is a just God, but He didn't give us His justice. He poured His justice out on His Son, Jesus Christ, because the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sins shall die. If God is a just God to us, none of us would be with Him forever because we've sinned. But God poured His justice out on His Son, Jesus Christ, who took our place, became our substitute, the satisfactory payment not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. So God then is able to deal with us in mercy and in grace. Mercy is getting what we don't deserve, and grace is not, mercy is not getting what we do deserve, and grace is getting what we do not deserve. It's just amazing. Romans 11:6 is the great verse. It says, if it is grace, it no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. So we spent some time looking at that, and then we went through and looked at grace in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I think I remember saying there are 206 places that grace or gracious is used in the Bible, 122 in the New Testament. It begins all the way back in Genesis 6:8, where it says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It goes all the way to Revelation 22:21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So grace is found throughout the Bible, all over the place. Then we looked at God's grace and far as the whole world, people and believers. And we spent a little bit of time. We talked about, I think the next slide shows that the world as a whole, God is a gracious God. And we talked about that He created the world. He works through the world. He takes care of the world. He feeds, protects the animals. Everything is grace as you look at the world. Then we looked at mankind as a whole people. And we talked about it as God's grace, Psalm 139. He created all of us and made us special and wonderful and all of those kind of things. And He loves all mankind so much that He has provided a Savior. We'll talk more about that in just a minute because that's what we hit on last week. But remember that He has sent a Savior into the world to be the Savior of mankind, not just believers. You remember the verse in 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, that talks about that God is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. He has sent a Savior for all people, but of course salvation comes by faith. We then looked at the third one, believers, and the whole aspect of the grace of God in our lives, all that He does for us. We said that grace is often misused and grace is often misunderstood. Then we got to the great verse, I think, which is next. The three areas of salvation found in Titus 2:11, 12, and 13. In verse 11, it's the grace of God that brings salvation. We're talking about eternal life salvation. Then it talked about the grace of God teaches us in the Christian life to deny ungodliness and live righteously. And then in verse 13, the grace of God is what gives us, as we look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Following that, last time we talked about grace, and we talked about grace and salvation. Did we skip some words? I think there's grace in sending a Savior, and grace in being saved is what we mentioned. But here's the one in grace and sending a Savior. This is an incredible truth that God in His grace has sent a Savior to the world. And that's something that sometimes people miss and they don't really understand it, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all people. It didn't mean all people are saved. It means He is the Savior. That I think on your handout, Titus 2:11, you've got two things, grace and sending a Savior. John 14:6, 1 Corinthians, it's just some powerful verses there. And we saw them. I think it's supposed to be, we did get it corrected. Your handout is wrong. Handout says 1 Corinthians 1:14, it should say 1:4. And for I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you in Jesus Christ. One of the great truths is that God in His grace has sent a Savior. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. By the grace of God, Jesus would taste death for everyone. He is the satisfactory payment not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. So it is the grace of God that He has sent a Savior for every person. There is some discussion. There are people who believe that Jesus only died for certain people. That's wrong. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that Jesus died for every person. 1 John 2:2, Hebrews 2:9, John 3:16, 1 Corinthians 1:4, all of those truths. So when people start saying, well, Jesus only died for certain people, that's not accurate. God in His grace has sent a Savior to pay for the sins of every human being. Now, just remember this, because what people get confused in is they think, okay, if you're telling me Jesus died for everybody, right, and Jesus paid for everybody's sins, yes, past, present, and future, yes, every person, believers, and unbelievers, I mean, he paid for everybody's sins, right, well, then why isn't everybody automatically going to heaven? Because the payment of sin doesn't save people. By grace, you are saved through the payment of sin. Is that what it says? No, it says by grace you are saved through faith. God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son that whosoever has the payment of sin will not perish but have eternal life. It doesn't say that. It says whosoever believes. So one of the truths of the Bible that a lot of people miss is that salvation doesn't come by the payment of sin. Salvation comes by faith. So it is his grace that he has provided a Savior for all people. He has sent the Savior who has died for every human being. The second thing that we saw last time is that grace in being saved. We are saved by grace. It is not works. It is God. It is not our goodness. It is not our righteousness. Not anything we promise to do or try to do. We are saved simply by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's a gift. You can't do anything for it. If there's something you could do for it, it is not a gift. And I think it is so powerful to realize that God in his grace has saved us. I think it is the thing that helps me. Number one, it's not what I promise to do for God that saves me. There's so many people that are confused. They'll say things like, you need to give your life to Jesus, ask Jesus into your life, you need to repent of your sins, stop your sin, and you need to make a public confession. You need to do all these things somehow, and they thinking by somehow you doing that, that saves you. That's not grace. Second, it is not what I keep on doing after I believe in Jesus that keeps me saved. It has nothing to do with it. It is not that I'm living a good life. It is not that I'm going to keep on believing. It is not that I'm doing anything. It is the grace of God that I am saved forever the moment I believe. Jeannie and I were talking about this with Sarah at lunch, and we were talking about when do you have eternal life? You have eternal life the moment you believe. I give you eternal life. Truly, truly, I say to you, here's my word, and believes him who sent me has, present tense, eternal life. The moment you believe, you have eternal life. So it's so powerful. It's the grace of God that we are saved simply by faith. And I'm going to tell you, Titus 3:7, that being justified by his grace. You're going to understand grace. Now, this sounds bad, so just grasp this. You understand grace when you realize you can believe in Jesus for eternal life and never serve him, never do anything, not even believe in him anymore, and you still go into heaven. That's the grace of God. People say, yeah, but that doesn't seem fair. It's not fair you're going anyway. It's not fair you're going to heaven. How many of us in here deserve heaven? We don't want fair. Remember, we don't want justice. We want God's justice poured out on Christ. We don't want God's justice poured out on us. We want God's grace poured out on us. And he says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you be with me forever as a gift. Well, do I have to be faithful? No. Well, first of all, you're not going to be faithful. You're not faithful. Do you keep on sinning? Or we keep on being in open rebellion against God, aren't we? So we're not faithful. We can't go around saying, I'm doing really, really good. We're not doing really, really good. It's the grace of God. So when we think of salvation, it is God's grace in being saved that we are saved by grace through faith. Powerful. Well, that's what we stopped at last time. And so we now move to the next page, which is the top of the page, which is grace in the Christian life, which is Titus 2:12. And I think the verse, as you notice it, it says, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. We're now talking about grace for the Christian life. Two things that he tells us on your handout, you can notice, to deny ungodliness and to live righteously. If you notice, instructing us, it's the grace of God that instructs us. It is the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness. Basically saying, there's the negative and the positive. The negative is deny sinfulness. Get away from that. Deny ungodliness and live righteously, godly in this present age. He says, deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's what we do. It is by God's grace that we live not ungodly, but righteously. It's the grace of God that teaches that. And so he says to us, God's grace says to you, deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Put that out. living ungodly lives and living by the world, and live righteously. In fact, he says, and live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. You want to think about God provides, and I don't think it's a slide, but God, if you notice, God provides a number of things for us when we think about the Christian life. In His grace, all in His grace, number one, Philippians 4:19, He provides everything that we need. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. That's the grace of God. In the Christian life, He has provided for us everything that we need. Number two, He protects us. Hebrews 13, if you just want to write down, Hebrews 13, I'll never leave you or forsake you. What should you fear? He always protects us and takes care of us. You don't have to be afraid. The third thing that He provides for us in His grace is that He gives us spiritual gifts. 1 Peter 4:10, He gives us the abilities to serve Him and to serve others. That's the grace of God. Think about how people use their spiritual gifts in your life and affect you, and you can say, well, that is really the grace of God. It's amazing. And the fourth thing that He does is we have the privilege to come to Him for prayer. Hebrews 4:16, come boldly unto the throne of grace. You can come to Him anytime, anywhere. Those songs were so good tonight because, you know, when you think about grace and you think about your sin, I mean, do we sin every day? And you can approach your Heavenly Father. And you can say, Lord, I lied. And He says, when you confess your sin, He said, I'm going to be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Grace of God. You know what He could have said? He said, listen, as a child of God, you disobey me. I won't get rid of you, but I'm not going to have anything to do with you after that. He could say that. He could say, you're going to be my child. I promised you eternal life, but that's not going to have anything to do with you because you're not faithful. That's not what He says. Grace of God all the way. Now, how in the world can we live righteously and godly? How can we deny ungodliness and worldly desires and live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age? By the way, at the bottom there it says He's given us all we need for life and godliness. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He's given us everything that we need to live the Christian life. That's the grace of God. You know, you can't go to God and say, look, I'm having a real problem because I'm missing some things. He says, you're not missing anything. I'm giving you everything you need for life and godliness. That's why we can deny ungodliness and worldly lust and desires and live righteously, sensibly, and godly. Because He said, I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. So if you go to the top of the next page, what has He given us? How are we going to be able to live this life? Well, the bottom line is He's given us two things by His grace, the Word of God and the power of God. I think we have that two other things or two things. We could put just two things. He's given us the Word of God and the power of God. He says, listen, here's what I'm going to do so that you can live by my grace, this Christian life. I'm going to give you the Word and I'm going to give you the power. First of all, He gave us His Word. Think about that. I think it's the next slide. Yeah, He gave us His Word, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. He's given us the Word of God. We already know the passage, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this tonight, but all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration is profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work. He says, I'm giving you the inspired Word of God for your benefit, so you'll know my Word, so you'll know what's right, you'll know you know what's wrong, you know how to get right, you know how to stay right. It will mature you and equip you to serve. That's what He tells us. All of that given to us by God for growth, maturity, and service. That's the grace of God. The grace of God. Can you imagine that the living God who's always existed, who created us, who reveals Himself to us, decided that not only would He just reveal Himself to us by talking and revealing through the world and all that, but He actually says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write it down for you and give it to you. That's the grace of God. You can carry it around. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. You have, by the grace of God in your hand, the Word of God. That's incredible when you think about it. I mean, this is revelation from the living God. It's not just some book. It's not just well, it's got Acts and Romans and Jeremiah and Psalms and those things. No, this is the Word of God in a written form, the living God that you can't even see, that you can see through His creation, that He has revealed Himself in life. He has given to you in a written form His Word. You get to have it. That's the grace of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by it. The word of God helps us grow. We know that the Bible says to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we have the word of God that we live by. That is by the grace of God. Not only that, we have the power of God. That's the Holy Spirit. See, not only did He say, I want you to die in godliness and worldly lust, but in my grace to you, I'm going to give you the power to do it. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit is going to live inside you. I'm actually going to live inside of you to give you the power to do the things that I ask you to do. That's the grace of God. Sometimes people talk about jobs and they'll say, well, my boss told me to do something, but they didn't give me the resources to get it done. And how frustrating that is. You say, I had this thing, I tried to get it done, but I couldn't get the stuff to get it done. God says, here's what I want you to get done, and I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm going to empower you. That's His grace. John 14:16, He says, the Father will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. John 16, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. He will give you the power to live. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through the one who strengthens me. That's Jesus Christ in us. The grace of God in our Christian lives is that God has empowered us. We put the Holy Spirit there. We know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all live inside of us. Holy Spirit is the one a lot of times we talk about when we talk about walking the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, all of those kind of things. Look at Titus 2, it says, teaching us, the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly. How? Because He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Let me show you something that if you notice, I've got God's grace teaches us, and I think there are five things that we learn from the grace of God that help us. Number one is the Christian life is not a set of laws and rules. The grace of God shows us Christian life is not that. By the grace of God, we realize it's not a set of laws. Now, there are Christians who don't grasp that. There are Christians who live their Christian lives under rules, and they think it's don't smoke, don't drink, don't dance, don't go to movies, don't play cards, don't wear certain clothes, don't do all this. They've been powered on this legalism all of their lives. They don't understand the grace of God. The grace of God teaches us, tells us the Christian life is not a set of laws and rules. In fact, we're no longer under law, but we're under the grace of God. When you say, but doesn't it talk about the law of Christ? It does. We're not under the law of Moses, we're under the law of Christ. The law of Christ is called the law of love. God's law to us is love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, love your neighbor as yourself, and a new commandment that He's given to us is I have loved you, loved others. So when you talk about it, and read in Romans and Galatians and some other places where He talks about the law of Christ, He's not talking about a set of rules, He's talking about loving God and loving others. So the Christian life is not a set of rules. And Christians who put themselves under a set of rules for the Christian life will be totally frustrated, because when we study the book of Romans, what happens when you put yourself under law? Causes you to what? Sin. Yeah. And it's terrible. I talked to somebody the other day, and we made that joke, same old joke. You know, you're walking by and you put there's a hole, and it says, do not look through this hole. What do you want to do immediately? When it says, don't do this, you immediately want to do this. Don't go to these movies. Don't wear these clothes. Don't do these sort of things. And immediately you say, why not? Don't drive over 65. Why not? I'm going to put it on 66 on cruise. Not 65, but 66, because I'm going to break the law. Because my flesh says, don't tell me what to do. That's flesh. Christian life is not that way. Christian life is not a set of laws. Second, the Christian life teaches us we have the power to live from Him. Galatians 5:16-17, we just mentioned that. By the grace of God, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in the Spirit. He gives us His strength. Third thing that the grace of God teaches us is that we are to deal with one another in grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8 talked about how we give to one another in grace and how grace abounds. And Paul talks about how God told him His grace was sufficient. In our lives, in our relationships with one another, we should deal with each other in grace. I think that there is a Well, there's just a concept in our lives that when somebody does us wrong or somebody's not doing what we think, we want to go after them. We want to make them pay. We want that revenge idea. And that's why the Bible all the way through says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. In fact, don't return evil with evil, return evil with good. How do we treat other people? We should treat other people with grace. In the same way that God deals with us in grace, we should treat other people in grace. Every time you mess up, just think about this. When somebody messes up with you, just think about all the times you've messed up and show them grace. That's how we relate to each other. We should. What else does grace teach us? We proclaim the message of salvation, which is a grace message. Ephesians 3:8 is pretty powerful. Let me read it to you because you'll love how it says it. It says, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. It's the grace of God that we get to preach, proclaim. As Paul said, he gets to proclaim the unfathomable riches of Christ. It's the grace of God we get to tell other people about the grace of God, at least for the salvation issue. We proclaim that message. It is a privilege. It is amazing that we'll find a product. I'm not going to mention any products, but we've had a product and we want to sell it to everybody. This is such a good product. This will stop you, you know, your car will run great, or this will be this way, or this will be good for this. And we go out and we say, look, you got to have this. How much is it? $39.99. It's always $39.99. But anyway, here's the deal. We got something that's free. Are we telling them? Grace of God. Tell them about the grace. The last one. His grace teaches us that we are to serve one another. 1 Peter 4:10 talks about as we have received spiritual gifts. In fact, let me read that because I love the way this verse says it. Listen to this, 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We get to serve one another with the gifts that God has given to us. And it's the grace of God. Every one of you in this room have at least one spiritual gift, at least one. You may have more than one. And it is the grace of God He's given you those gifts, and it is the grace of God you get to serve other people in the body of Christ and in this world by the gifts that God has given to you. And we're going to be embarrassed and sad when you stand before your Savior and He doesn't say, well done, because He says, I gifted you, I gave you those talents, abilities, gifts, and you didn't use them. You hid it in the ground. And we'll be ashamed at His coming. It's the grace of God we get to serve Him. And that's how we should look at it. The grace of God. So grace of God teaches us these five things. Now from that we've seen instructing the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. By the grace of God we have the power to live for Him. By the grace of God we get to serve Him. That takes us to the third area. And that is grace, which is the hope for the future. Notice verse 13, looking. It's the grace of God that has us looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. We're looking for His return. It's the grace of God He's coming back. You remember what He told the guys? There He was last night. Upper Room Discourse. I love the Gospel of John because the Gospel of John fits together and unique. There's some synoptic Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they all have the same flow and they all fit. The Gospel of John doesn't fit with them. Gospel of John has, though about the first 12 chapters deal with the seven signs that Jesus gives to show that He's the Son of God. And then in chapters 13 through 18, there's what we call the Upper Room Discourse, where all the other Gospels give about 10 verses, what happened in the upper room. John gives all those chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. That's the Upper Room Discourse. In that Upper Room Discourse on that last night, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms, but it wasn't that way I told you. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And when I get it all ready, I will come back, and where I am, you will be also. It's the grace of God. He's going to come get us. We know from 1 Thessalonians and from those other places where he said, I don't want you to be upset or be ignorant about the things that the people have already died and all this. We know that there's going to be the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain to be caught up together with them, meet the Lord in the air, and thus we'll always be with the Lord. He says, comfort one another with these words. It's over and over throughout the scripture that one of these days, Christ is going to come get us, and that's the grace of God. He's gone to prepare a place for us to get it ready. He will come back and get us. Listen to this. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace. See, it's the grace of God that gives us the hope and the eternal comfort. And when the Bible uses the word hope, it's not like a hope we win the game. The Greek word for hope, elpis, has an eager anticipation of the future. It's not like something's in doubt. It's like I can hardly wait for it to happen. So when he says we're looking for the blessed hope, it's the we're waiting for him to come back and get us. The grace of God says he's coming. You think he's going to come get you? Yeah. Why? What have you done? Nothing. It's the grace of God. He's going to come get me. So no matter what you do, he's going to come get you. No matter what I do, he's going to come get me. Because it's the grace of God. Ephesians 2:7. In order that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. See, he says, I'm going to show you my grace even in the years to come, in the ages to come, he's going to come get us. So it's powerful. He, at the bottom of that page, he's going to prepare a place for us, Titus 2:7, in the ages to come. So in a summary, we've seen salvation, Christian life, and the future. Salvation is by grace through faith. The Christian life is by grace in God's word and God's power. And the future is the grace of God as he's going to come get us and we'll be with him forever. All of this is based on grace. Now, we have just scratched the surface of grace. And there are still so many people who talk about grace and they still hadn't got it. I know churches that have grace in their title, but their theology is not grace. It breaks your heart. I know people who say, oh, I understand the grace of God. And then you say to them, have you believed in Christ as your Savior? Yes. Are you going to heaven? Well, if I keep being faithful, I will. They don't understand the grace of God. Grace of God. You've understood grace when you understand that every aspect, salvation, Christian life, and future, all comes to you, not based on what you've done, or going to do, or keep on doing. It's based on the grace of God. Finally, our response to grace. And I've got a couple of things, or I think four things. The first one is this. For some, it's salvation, to trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. I know everybody in this room as I look around, so I don't think there's anybody in this room who has not believed in Jesus Christ for eternal life. But the truth is, the response to the grace of God for some people is to believe in Christ for eternal life. To understand grace. To understand that he's given you eternal life. It's offered as a gift. Some have never understood that. I was called to the hospital about 6 months ago. The lady in the nurse from the intensive care called me and said, there's a lady up here. She doesn't have a pastor. She doesn't have anybody. And we don't know how long she's going to make it. And she's saying she needs a pastor. And the lady up there said, I thought of you. Would you come up here? I said, of course, I'll come right up there. So I came up there and saw this little lady, and we started talking, and I kind of got it around to the thing, and I said, well, now let me ask you something. If you were to die, would you go to heaven? I hope I would. Well, let's talk about it. And we started talking, and she said, yes, I have believed in Christ as my Savior. I said, so you've trusted in Jesus Christ to get you eternal life. Yes, so you're going to heaven. I hope I am. I said, wait, let's go back over this again. Now, you believe in Jesus for eternal life, right? Yeah. How long is eternal life? Oh, it's forever. I said, so you've trusted Christ and he's given you eternal life. Yes. I said, so you're going to heaven. I hope I am. She never said yes, that she knew she was going. So I left. No, I didn't. I didn't leave. But the bottom line is, some people talk about grace. They don't grasp it. They still hadn't grasped it. I asked her, well, why would you not possibly go? If you've believed in Jesus, he's given you eternal life. You have eternal life now. Why would you not go? I just don't know if I've done enough things. I don't know if I'm going to keep on living right. She said that twice. And I said to her, but you know, it's not based on whether you live right or not. Isn't it based on faith in Jesus? Yes, it's just faith in Jesus. I said, isn't it just faith? Yes, just faith in Jesus. You going to heaven? I hope so. Why wouldn't you go? I just don't know if I've done enough. I mean, she never grasped it while I was there. Please grasp it. Understand the grace of God for salvation. Second, for us, many of us, we need to share the message clearly. We need to make sure that we tell people about the grace of God, that it's not our works or goodness that saves us. It's not by what we keep on doing. It is simply grace in faith. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It's that simple. Let's share the message clearly. And if you're not prepared, if you say, I just don't know if I know what to say, what verses to go to, then take the 4:12, come by and see me. We will make sure you're clear on sharing your faith. The third one, just remember that the Christian life, live it in God's grace. God's given you the power. God's given you the Holy Spirit. God's given you the Word. The Christian life is in His power based on the Word of God. Using your gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given you, proclaim the clear gospel message, serve one another, all of this. It's all based on the grace of God. And then last but not least, base our hope on the grace of God. And the hope is the eager anticipation of the future, realizing that our Savior Jesus Christ could come any second, and it is the grace of God that He's going to come get you. We do not deserve to be with Him forever, but He says, I've given you eternal life. You will never be separated from me. One of these days I'm going to come get you, and you're going to be with me forever. The grace of God. May we praise God for His wonderful grace given to us. By it we are saved and we live and we look for His return. May we live this life in response to grace, serving Him and bringing glory to Him because all that He has given to us in grace. Well, let's pray and we'll open up for any questions or comments or anything you might have. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your grace. Lord, may we never take it for granted. Thank You, Lord, that when we look at our whole aspect, it's grace for salvation, it's grace for Christian life, it's grace for the future. Every aspect is grace. Lord, may we understand it. May we proclaim a clear grace message. May we help people to understand it. Lord, I pray if there's even one in this room that has never understood grace for salvation, that even right now they will believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. I pray that us in this room, as we scatter out in this community, will go clearly with the grace message. I pray, Lord, that we'll understand the Christian life is grace all the way, helping us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and live righteously and godly and sensibly in this present age. And Lord, thank You. It is Your grace. In Your grace, You're going to come get us. And we look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. Jesus died for us, redeemed us. And of these things, may we speak, exhort, and reprove with all authority, and let no one disregard us. Use us, Lord, for Your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.